We won't have to deploy all those men to watch long supply lines. We won't have to deploy men to protect logistical bases against the kinds of raids that Earl Van Dorn and Nathan Bedford Forrest, for example, carried out against Grant's rear areas in the initial stage of the Vicksburg campaign. Now, Grant worked this strategy out for the Western Theater initially. And he thought that major raids would be aimed at Mobile, and once that port was taken, then the Army would strike inland toward Montgomery, Alabama, and eventually would veer over toward Georgia, probably toward Atlanta, laying waste to these regions as they went. The Federal forces would thus really hurt the logistical areas of that part of the Confederacy. He also envisioned another movement out of Chattanooga toward Atlanta, first a conventional move along the railroad to Atlanta, but once the Federals had Atlanta, they would strike from there into the interior of Georgia. So these two big raids going into Alabama and Georgia. In February 1864, Sherman led a 20,000-man force from Vicksburg to Meridian, Mississippi, in a sort of practice run for what Grant envisioned on a much broader scale later in the war. Sherman was to see whether Grant's thinking was workable in the field, and the Meridian raid indicated that it was something that would work. Sherman soldiers lived off the land, they destroyed railroads, they destroyed foodstuffs and other supplies en route, spent a few days in Meridian when they got there, destroying what they could, and then made their way back to Vicksburg. They tore up about 115 miles of railroad, destroyed several dozen bridges, and a number of rolling stock and locomotives. Now, applied to the east, Grant's theory involved expeditions into southwestern Virginia and into North Carolina that would deny Lee the supplies that his army pulled from those areas. So go at Lee indirectly, just as he is in essence going at the Confederates indirectly in much of the Western theater. But for Virginia, Grant's thinking was at odds with what Lincoln and Halleck wanted. Henry Halleck and Lincoln wanted Lee's army to be the target. They wanted the Army of the Potomac to engage Lee's army and inflict the greatest damage possible on that army. So he wasn't going to get his way in Virginia. All that planning took place in the wake of Chattanooga, planning for the West, and before Grant was named General-in-Chief. That promotion came in March of 1864. He was called to Washington, was Grant, and asked to assume command of all the United States armies. So here's the progression we've had. Winfield Scott, the first General-in-Chief, then McClellan, then Halleck, and now Grant, the fourth and final General-in-Chief of the Union armies. Congress had revived the rank of Lieutenant General, previously held only by George Washington and by Winfield Scott by brevet, revived it specifically for Grant, an indication of the enormous regard Congress had for Grant and the Northern people had for Grant. He becomes the North's only three-star general in the Civil War. Halleck was bumped down to Chief of Staff, and Grant now had responsibility for planning the entire strategy for the North in the spring of 1864, and he quickly got to work. Now, he already had his plans in place for the West, the strategy of exhaustion concentrating on Mobile, Montgomery, and Atlanta. For the East, Grant soon realized that he wasn't going to be able to use an indirect approach, a strategy of exhaustion there. He realized that there was enormous political pressure for him to make Lee and his army his target. An enormous amount of political pressure, a really groundswell of pressure from the North also for Grant to campaign with the Army of the Potomac, to move his headquarters east, to run the war from the east, to be actively engaged in opposing Lee. He would have preferred to stay in the West. His friend Sherman urged him not to go to the East, where all of the political intrigue in Washington might ensnare Grant, but Grant figured out very quickly that the campaign in Virginia would have overwhelming importance to people in the North who saw Lee as the best general commanding the best rebel army. He knew that he would be expected as the new top soldier of the United States to go against Lee in the field. We have here, in effect, the two champions of the respective nations who would soon be battling head-to-head. He didn't relish the role. He knew there could be problems for an officer coming from the West taking command in the East. John Pope had done that. As you'll remember, Pope had come from the West, from his successes in the West, and had presided over an ignominious failure in the campaign of Second Manassas back in the summer of 1862. Grant was aware of that, and he had some trepidation about coming to the East as a Westerner and trying to impose his will.